Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode tonight of the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. I'm your host, Chris Richardson. I'm excited that you are joining us and joining in tonight. We've got a hot topic. So let me go ahead and lay out the ground rules now. And if you're just joining in, you can do so by dialing in at 619-924-0869. I'm going to say that again. It's 619-924-0869. So if you got a comment, question for tonight's show, tonight's topic is called, it's really about love, submission, and respect. Well, the question then becomes, which one comes first? It's like the chicken or the egg. Does love come first? Does submission come first? Or does respect? Or do they all blend in together? And if so, how do they do it? Well, we're going to talk a little bit, and we're going to hear from some others tonight as well. We've got none other than Meet the Smiths on. That means both. We have both Edward and Debbie Smith joining us and gracing us tonight. So, Ed, Debbie, go ahead and say hello to the family.
Hey, what's up, fam? What's up, man? We're so delighted to be on tonight, brother. Let us go ahead and try to unpack these topics, man, and see what can become of it.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Sister Dana, we couldn't hear you. Go ahead. I cut you off.
Oh, that's okay. I was just saying hi to everybody and telling them that I'm happy to be here to discuss this topic tonight.
Yeah, well, Deb, you know, we're going to start with you. Why is this topic? Oh, before we do that, let me just go ahead and get one housekeeping thing out of the way. Tonight, since it's such a topic that kind of can be a little bit spirited, we got to create some ground rules real quick. This is the boundary line. You can't cross the boundary. It's real simple. We can agree to disagree. I just need you to say that with me one time. We can agree to disagree. So what that means, the next part of that is, we can challenge the message, but we make it really clear we don't attack the messenger on this show. So we're here to have an open dialogue and a discussion so that we can get better. And you all know, if you've been to the show before, you know it's about you. So it begins with you and ends with you. So if you're not willing to change, neither will your situation. So it's about helping you live better, love deeper, and laugh more. So when you are better, we are better. What does that mean? At the end of the day, what we're trying to do here on the show is promote one agenda, and that's God's agenda. In the words of Dr. Johnny Parker, when man promotes God, God promotes the man. And that's what we want to do tonight. Our focus tonight is the Christian-based show. We make no apologies about it whatsoever from our viewpoint that we try to stay on. And that is, if it's not a precept that's biblically based, we try to just say, hey, we can talk about it, but if we're going to live our life and conduct ourselves, we want to live according to the precepts that we should be governing ourselves by. So that being said, Deb, I'm going to kick it off to the ladies. Why is this topic important to you?
Well, you know, this topic is important because as a Christian woman, when I read the word, I see respect, I see love, and I see submission. And so I need to understand what is expected of me as a wife, what is expected of the man that I choose to spend the rest of my life with, and how to put it all together and make it work. And, you know, it's important to understand what it means to me personally. What do I understand by reading the Word of God, and then apply that to my life?
Absolutely. Absolutely would agree. And Ed, why is this important to you?
Well, when you look at all three topics, it is a relationship can't work without these three, brother. And so I need to understand fully what submission mean and should look like. And so I need, and so does love and everything else, because without these, because in my opinion, these are the fundamentals of any relationship. And without them, then we are riding for a fall.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we know that relationships in general are challenging, to say the least. Relationships are challenging. We know that. So going into the relationship, what we have to do is we got to go back to the blueprint. And so when we look at that blueprint, where do we go? Well, that blueprint is love created the blueprint. Well, who is love? God is love. So if we want to talk about this whole thing, we've got to put a foundation in place. And I think the foundation, and you guys can co-sign with me and let me know if we're on point with this, And I want to hear from the listening audience tonight. We want to hear from the listening audience. This is not just to come and sit back and just listen tonight. We want you to get involved and get engaged in the subject tonight. So, again, jump in, 619-924-0869. All right, cool. Having said that, let's get hot and heavy now. Now, this whole thing about love. So I guess I ask the question is, what is love? Now, I thought about this topic. Ed and I were, we kind of talk once a week or a couple times throughout the weekend. He had a subject matter that he posted recently about submission. And I had a thought process in my head about love, and I was saying, can a man love a woman? And can a woman truly love a man? You know, and so what's that look like? Because when we look at the end of the day, relationships, marriages are failing, you know, and, you know, it happens. Things happen, they fail at a higher rate. So if you love someone, if you truly love someone, I guess I got to ask the question, what is love to you and what does it mean? Do you love someone with conditions? Do you love someone with boundaries? I don't know. So, again, you know, help me understand. Ed, if you had to define love, what would be your definition of love?
Well, I love has different layers, different meaning, different category, depending on the what type of love, you know. The Bible talks about the eros love and the filial love and the agape love. And so what God is asking me to do is to agape my wife as he agape the church. And outside of God, it is virtually impossible for me to have agape love for my wife. I can only do that through Christ. Why is that? Because agape love is unconditional love. It's self-serving. It is self-denying. It is not about you, but it's always about the other person. And so in order for me to do that, I would have to step out of my norm, which is my norm is to serve self first, is to cater to self, and that's not what agape love is asking for. And so agape love is not even has nothing to do with whether or not the love is reciprocal. You know, so whether or not it is reciprocal, my job is to love unconditionally. Love to a place where not only it hurts, but it to a place where I'm willing to die for.
Deb, so is it really possible for you as a woman to really love your husband?
It's not possible on my own, but it's possible when I allow the Lord to lead me, because in my flesh, there are going to be days when I don't want to love him. There are going to be days when I don't love him, when I'm, you know, unhappy with his behavior or unhappy with the way that he spoke to me. And so the fleshy part of me will say, I don't want to love this man anymore. I'm not in love with this man. I don't even like him anymore. But the spirit part will say, you made a commitment. So whether you feel like you love him or not, you made a commitment to God. And so you're going to honor that commitment by working it out, by talking it through, by serving him even when you're upset with him. And then, you know, and it's not just our spouses either. It's each other. It's our friends. It's our enemies. You know, the Bible tells us to love our enemies. That's very difficult to do. So it's not something that's just easy. You know, we throw the word around a lot, but it's not easy. It's difficult. It takes work. You have to be intentional about it, and you have to allow the Lord to lead you every step of the way.
Chris, if you don't mind me interjecting, my wife said something about you make a promise. And let me change that word a little bit and talk about covenant. You know, you made a covenant to your spouse, and not only to your spouse, but you made a covenant to God. And it is very important that you stay true to your covenant before you stay true to the person. Now, to a lot of people, that may sound crazy, because here's what it is. when you stay true to the covenant, regardless of how the person may change, you remain true to the covenant because you're being faithful to the covenant. Because if we just stay faithful to the person, like as my wife stated, tomorrow she may not love me the way that she should because I may have done something. As my mood change, it interfere with her mood also, and so her feelings, her attitude, her behavior will change towards me because my mood interfere with that, or her mood interfere or interrupt that. But when you stay true to the covenant, regardless of our behavior as individual, it will not, it should not interfere with anything because we're being, I don't know if that makes sense to you, Chris.
Hey, I actually really, really like that. I don't know if y'all really caught what he was saying. I mean, I think it was in plain English, so I don't really need to go back and paraphrase it any deeper, but I think that's true. If you know, because your word is, they used to say back in the day, your word is all you have. The problem now, though, mm-hmm. people are getting caught up in what everybody else's actions are, that they've forgotten that the word that they gave and the promise that they made under the covenant. See, the covenant is what we are. If we look, okay, when we look at a person, if I'm going to love my wife to be, I got to love her in spite of her flaws, in spite of my flaws and my insecurities, my inadequacies, my imperfections, all of those things. I've got to love her past her pain and to see how God sees her. Now, that ain't always necessarily easy. So that being said, though, what Ed is saying, if you focus on covenant in this whole big picture, that's the purpose of what we need to see in order to really move forward as one and showing agape level of love. You know, now I want to share something. Let's go to the foundation of this thing. So, Ed, when we think about love, right, I got to go to the scripture that reminds me. Remember, we all know John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. So, number one, we always say that love, the sign of true love is the gift that it keeps on giving. Love is not looking for something in return. Love continues to give because God is the example of love. And so when we look at the model, you can look at your mother, your father, your brother, your uncle, your aunt, sister, all those folks that have been around you. You can look at President Obama and all those people. But they're human. They do the best that they can to exemplify love. But the model of love is truly seen by God in his word, that he loved enough to send his son in the form of a flesh to die so that we may have the gift of eternal life and the sacrifice he made. So, number one, love keeps on giving. Number two, love makes a sacrifice. Number three, love comes with a cost. Christ died. It was a cost that he bared. And so we already know that. So there was a cost that it's going to pay. If you're going to love this person, now we know, as Ed just dissected a minute ago, yo, he's like, look, if I'm going to love my wife, I got to really love her like Christ loved the church. Now, that's hard for brothers to really truly understand. So if you're a brother listening out there right now, what he's essentially saying is just understand the model that God sent his son to live in human form. And he came and he took all our sins on. And he bore the lashes and he wore all of that because he loved us enough to make the sacrifice. That means he made a selfless act. So love isn't selfish. Love is selfless. Now, Corinthians, we all know this, Deb. We know this scripture, 13, Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. So if you don't love somebody, you already know that there's some suffering that's going to come with that because love ain't all about your happiness. Love, what you got to understand is that every time we take an action, Christ ain't always happy with our actions, but he loves us in spite of what we do. When you was all nasty and cantankerous with your neighbor, you couldn't speak when you came out your door, or you just cursed the person out at work, or you rolled your head at your boss. Yeah, God sees all that, but you know what he does? He loves us, and I love this. So it says, and is kind. Love does not envy. Okay, it's not envious. Then he says, love does not parade itself. You ain't got to boast. You ain't got to boast about it. And then it's not puffed up. You ain't, look, like a peacock, man. The peacock sticks out his chest. You ain't got to puff about it. Because God doesn't puff when he does those things for us. He's not doing it looking in return. So if you love someone, you're not going to give them something because you're looking for a result. Now, mm-hmm. you're doing it because, number one, you are a giver, and you know that mm-hmm. God gave you. And so then it says, does not behave rudely. Somebody need to read that one again. That's verse 5. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Okay, so, okay, there it goes again, coming back a hundredfold. It does not seek its own. That means it's not giving mm-hmm. and looking for something in return. It's not mm-hmm. provoked. Mm-hmm. We got to break mm-hmm. the provoked thing down. That means in spite of what you do, all right, I see you, Toy. I see you. I'm coming back at you. In spite of what you do, all right, it ain't provoked. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to say, in order for me to prove to my fiance that I love her, she doesn't have to provoke me to do it. I'm doing it because I want to do it. And it is because mm-hmm. I'm leading as a man of God, as a kingdom mm-hmm. man. My assignment is to show her what love looks like. My assignment is mm-hmm. to put her in a position to where I can lead her better than I found her. Okay? That's mm-hmm. the number one thing. And, fellas, I learned that from Dr. Johnny Parker, who would always say, in the very beginning, when I first got in this relationship, he said to me as I was going through the process of deciphering where I was going with this, am I going to play with it or am I going to take this serious? And he would always say, look, you know, leave her better than you found her. So I'm going to put that in plain English. Boys play games, men make decisions. Boys play games, men make decisions that we're going to lead, and we're going to lead with love. Now, here's the thing. There's some suffering. It ain't always been peaches and cream. There's some days that I'm not always happy. There's some days you ain't always happy. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, the focus is on love. Now, what's that mean? I'm focused on Christ because he is love. That's where my focus mm. is, in spite of the pain, in spite of the things that come at me throughout the day, the decisions that I have to make mm-hmm. because I'm not a boy. I'm a kingdom man. I'm striving mm-hmm. for kingdom purpose. Mm-hmm. Now, am I perfect? Absolutely not, because we're not worried about trying to be perfect. I'm trying to be mm-hmm. as righteous as I can, so I'm working on my salvation on a daily thing. So when you look at mm-hmm. love, go back to Corinthians 13:4, and that's where you find an example of love. Hey, we got some guests on tonight, Ed. I see the board is lit up, so hold on. Okay, so 570-807, I'm going to take this call. So 570-807, tell us your name, where you're calling from, what your comment or your question is for the show. 570-807, going once.
What's the phone number? What's the number you said?
807, is that you? 570-807.
Oh, yeah, that's me. I'm sorry. I had my headset on, and for some reason it just got real low after you said that. My bad. Anyway, this is Shamika.
Okay.
I'm the one. This is Shamika, Tia. I was I had commented on Brother Edward's post that day, and the reason why this subject is so touching to me is because I don't like to talk about stuff I don't know. I only talk about stuff I do know. And I had the pleasure of being with someone that God had selected for me and me for him. And when I hear people say, you know, like when I see these married people and they say they, you know, they almost like live separate lives. You know, this one is yo-yoing around the kids and this one is doing that. That was, it was like unheard of to me. And we, like, because I've experienced that. Now, before that, and that happened in 2006 is when the command went out. You know, of course, we didn't obey the command and things got crazy and we're no longer together, but the command went out. And like I said, that happened in 2006. And let me tell you something. Even going to work was almost torture to not be with that person. Like I said, we lived together, and we would be on the phone all day. We would be, and it was never enough. It was never, ever enough. None of it was ever enough. He can just leave the house and call me. We can speak until we get to the bus stop. Guess what? That wasn't enough. It was never enough. It was never enough. So I know firsthand what it's like. Is this line open still? Oh, I'm surprised it's so short. I see longer lines. My bad. Anyway, I'm sorry about that. But I got to experience firsthand the profession we want to be in, or we could say, Father God, you know, you created me with a purpose. What profession should I get in? And then he'll answer you. You know, he talks. Not too many people know that. I had a business deal. Somebody wanted to buy me out or get down with my partnership with me. I just simply said, God, yes or no, and he told me no. And I was like, whoa, thank you. Okay, I obviously dodged the bullet right there. So people don't, that's number one. You can't say, I made a commitment to my wife or my husband, but the reason why God said to be as one, he really meant that. So that means if you're making your wife upset, you're really making yourself upset. So people don't view their marriages like that. You have people, I've heard people saying if their husband touched them, they cringe up. Or if their wife touched, it's like they got to go get drunk just to get home, just to go home and cope with this person that they come married to. And again, like I said, if it was years ago and someone would, I was like, listen, that's why I'm not married. I don't want to get married. I mean, that is not for me. But having experienced this firsthand, the difference, and I tell you, it is a major difference. And I don't care, he could have just bust you in your eyeball. You can't get enough of that dude. You can't get enough of him. He can't get enough of you. Like I said, the being at work all day is torture because y'all can't wait to get together. So I feel sorry for people that haven't experienced that, and apparently it's the majority. I feel sorry for them that have not experienced that. I feel sorry for them that have to stay in marriages where they really like the person. Like I said, your mama picked that person or your daddy picked that person, and you don't like this man, and now every day you got to lie and say why you got a headache and all this other stuff because you just don't like him. And I feel sorry for those people because, like I said, I got to experience what the other side was like. And with that, I rest my mic.
Hey, I'm glad you called. We're going to respond to your – stay tuned. We're going to respond. I'm going to bring in Sister Toy in just a second here. But stay tuned. If you want to post another comment or question, you can also join the page, which is the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. There we'll have a chat group going on at the same time. So what are your thoughts and comments around what you just heard from Shanika? We're going to bring in Toy Parker now. We call her Machine Gun Toy. Hey, Toy, welcome to the show. It's been a minute, girl.
Hi there. Hello, everyone. Oh, I missed you guys too. Oh, my goodness. So I'm so happy to be here. And everyone's brought up some very good points. I do want to bring a point of clarity, though, because obsession is not love. So let's make sure we're clear. And I understand where she was coming from, but for those that may not really hear her well, I want to make sure we put that line of demarcation there because obsession is not love. Love that is just godly love, and because of that love, there's passion, but it's a godly passion mm-hmm. for one another because you can identify with your spouse or with your significant other. Mm-hmm. There is a time where it is healthy to be apart and to be okay with doing activities separately. Of course, there's the longing and the I miss you, and, you know, that's what makes it even better when you get home. That's fine, but there should not be an obsession to the point where you can't be without each other because God, that would mean that there's a void that you're trying to fill with each other that only God can fill. So I do want to make sure that we're very clear on that. And, yes, you know, the man is supposed to love God, of course, and the woman does too. But more importantly, Scripture also dictates that the man is supposed to love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. He'd be willing to lay down his life for his wife. That's serious. And so when we say we love one another, how serious are we? We do need to reexamine that and make sure that we are doing it in the Christ-like manner. And I love everything that everyone has shared. I just wanted to make sure that we do bring some points of clarity there because, you know, it can be misinterpreted as, oh, he must really love me because he can't be without me any day of the every moment. He can't be without me all day long, or he's on the phone with me all the time, or sometimes that's an obsession and that can be stalking. So you got to know when you're loved and when you're stalked. There is a difference, you know, so we have to be careful with that. And the only reason why I know is because that's happened to me before. So I've seen both sides of that coin. So because of those experiences, I want to make sure that, you know, that person, it's wonderful to love someone that deeply, but make sure you love yourself deeply first and love God first within yourself, because what you don't want is for a person to become an idol. That person should not be your idol. God is your God, and that person that you love is because of God's love, because he is love. Does that make sense?
Toy, I didn't move my shoe with this computer 3 times already since you didn't got on this phone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That was well. See, now, here's the thing, Ed. I just got to say this. The art of listening is an art. Listening is an art. I mean, not everybody can listen. See, here's what happens is this. What we say speaks to our truth and to our experience of what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
can listen. You can use words. Words bring truth to life. And so what I always say, you know, to people is, what are you really saying? And when it's mm-hmm. decoded, and I hear what was said and all of that, I just want to throw my shoe at the computer right now. That's why you got the organ. You decoded what was truly being said. And that's not that something was wrong. However, eloquently said, just bringing points of clarity around it, mm-hmm. there is a difference with it, the obsession versus this. And that is so true, because the other point that you brought up is not making someone else your idol. Look, I want you to love me, but I don't want you to love me more than you love Christ. And if you want me to love you more than we have Christ, we got a problem, because that can't happen. Because you are not my – listen, I was driving the other day, and I thought about this scenario, Ed. So here I'm driving, and up ahead was the light. But what was I focused on? See, while I'm here, I was probably about a mile from the light. I couldn't focus on the light. You see what I'm saying? At that time. So, all right, so watch where I'm going with this. So here we are, Toya, we driving, and what was happening is that my focus needed to be on what was in front of me, which was the road, not the light ahead of me.
Right.
Some of you all have gotten distracted and put the wrong thing in priority. You cannot make the man the light when God is the light and he is the road. And vice versa, you cannot make the woman. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Come on. You got to know what you need to focus on and what your priority must be, and know your season. Know your season, and you better know that Jesus is the reason for the season. So that has to connect.
Mm-hmm.
You got to connect the dots. And so we talk about this thing called love. We shared 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. We talked about that. But now there's this topic that is like the Achilles heel. Women hear this and they cringe. A lot of women. I can't say all, but a lot of women cringe. Now, before we can even talk about this S word, we cannot talk about love without talking about forgiveness. You cannot love a person. These are the basics. You got to talk about how do you forgive? When we talked about that, the 1 Corinthians and breaking it down, it keeps no record of wrongdoing. If you start keeping score in your relationship, that's the minute your relationship ended. The moment you start keeping track, well, I used to do this, and you used to do that, you cannot do that, because so that has that envy, that's bitterness, that creates resentment. Those are poison paper words. The minute you do that, then it becomes less about the movement and kingdom building, and it becomes a focus about you subliminally, because all you want it to be is about you. Every relationship that you get in, it is not about you. It is about God working something in you and through you to get you to where your next level is. And so some people, we say this all the time, some people are a part of your journey, and some people should have been kicked off at 5 stops before. Okay? So you better know when you join in, and you're talking about this whole thing about covenant and all this. First of all, the man that's in your life or the woman that's part of your journey, you don't give these things to them day one. You just simply don't. This is a process that you go through. Now, I can't tell you, I can tell you they don't get the home plate right away. They can't get all the goods, because if they get all the goods, there's nothing to come back to. And ladies, here's the thing. If you think he really loves you, cut the cookie off. You'll see what he really loves.
Mm-hmm.
I had a young lady totally say to me recently, she asked a friend of hers, she said, well, what do you like about me? What's the one thing? And the first thing that ninja said is, I'm sorry, I got a little bit, I got a little heated for her. He said, you're sexy. That is red flag, ladies. If the first thing a man says out his mouth that you're dating and he says you're sexy, that is a red flag. Ed, back me up on that.
Yeah.
Am I teaching or preaching?
Yeah, man, you're preaching, brother. You're preaching, man.
Both?
As you're teaching, but let me say this real quick, Chris. For those that are listening, You know, I want us to get this abundantly clear. God does not choose your mate for you. You do. God just do whatever it is that you allow him to do. Let me break that down for you. A wife finds a good thing, which means that in order for me to find, I have to go in search of. Right? Hey, Chris, what is your favorite fruit?
All right, let's just make this real clear. Strawberries.
Okay, strawberry. So if you were to go inside a store to purchase a strawberry, you can't pick up a lemon and expect it and command it to turn into strawberry, right? You would have to actually pick up the strawberry and you go purchase, you pay for it, and once you pay for it, it becomes your strawberry. Now, why am I saying this? God says, the Bible says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing, which means that a lot of us think that the presence of a ring makes you a wife, but it's on the contrary. It's the presence of your character, your values, your principle. That's what makes you a wife, you know. And so if you're walking like a wife, you don't have to be married to become a wife. Once you marry me, you become my wife.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be walking. You have to be walking in the principles of a wife in order for a man of character to find you. But a lot of times, you know, and I'm gonna talk about the ladies for a little. A lot of times, most ladies want to settle for just being girlfriend. And whenever you settle for girlfriend and not wife, boys will always play with you.
That's right.
You know. So I want us to understand that God does not choose your mate for you. You do. God just do in your relationship whatever it is that you allow him to do. God is the blueprint, and God says these are the fundamentals that you ought to follow in choosing a mate, in seeking for a mate. If you follow these, I guarantee you will find your Eve. You will find the one. But if you don't, and you choose someone else outside of the fundamental, you know. Well, understand me. My principles, my values, and all that stuff as it relates to marriage does not change. Whomever you choose, you're gonna have to come right back to my fundamentals. And if you can't deal with my fundamentals, then chances are your relationship will never work.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will have no foundation.
Yep.
Mhm. 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 Yeah, absolutely.
Now that unforgiveness thing. Let me just unpack that real quick before we segue into this whole thing that I know y'all percolating, y'all salivating over this whole S word, and I'm not even gonna mention it right now. I'm just gonna say the S letter. But let's hit this unforgiveness piece because again, as I stated, you cannot truly have agape love without forgiveness. Because God models that for us. You think about the things that if God gave us, you know what, I throw up my hands right now and say, God, I thank you for giving me, he did not give me what I deserve. And as much as the thoughts that come to my mind and some of the actions that I take, they're not always pleasing in his sight, but yet his grace, his mercy are sufficient, and he forgives me if I go to him with a repentant heart. So number one, that's not a conditional thing of forgiveness or love. It's not conditional. Let me just be clear. What I have to do, though, is for that, I have to say, God, forgive me for my sin. What that meant, I just acknowledge and confess. So what am I saying? I'm saying to the man or to the woman who's listening right now, don't be so bullheaded or so stubborn or stuck up that you can't apologize and show humility and acknowledge that your shortcomings. You know what, babe? I missed the mark right there, and I'm sorry. I missed the mark, and I apologize. It has to be sincere and genuine, and that's how we go to God. So unforgiveness is essential. He gives us that example, and like when we look at Matthew 18, when he's using the parable, he says, God, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is in debt to us. That was in Luke 4. Then likewise, in the parable of the unmerciful slave in Matthew 18, Jesus equated forgiveness with canceling a debt. So forgiveness is the act of pardoning an offender. So the Greek word, here's what the Greek means to this toy I'm teaching on this one. Greek means, this is toy.
Right.
Greek means literally to let go. To let go. So that's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're listening right now, I want everybody to do this. I want you to turn your hands, both your hands over, and where your palm is face down, open up your fingers. That's what I want you to do. That means you can't hold it in your hand. You've let it go. Remember, Paul went to Tarsus. He was shipwrecked. And he was when he went over to the island, the islanders and all that, and then he went on. He was bitten by a snake, a serpent that bit him on the hand.
Uh-huh.
What was the first thing? Uh-huh. First thing he did, he shook it off. What you got to do when somebody does you wrong, you got to shake it off. And he was bitten by a poisonous snake. It was a serpent, but he had enough faith. He had enough faith. He had enough faith in God that, in spite of how much the pain that he might have been in. In spite of his pain, he shook it off and he let it go. I'm just trying to tell you, somebody, you carrying on something that was done to you at the age of 5 or something that was done to you in your teenage years that you're harboring and you're carrying with you, and all it's doing is it's rotting you from the core, from the inside out. And you're having problems loving people because, number one, you haven't forgiven yourself. So
and
if you're going
also,
to forgive, start there. Yes, please, Tori.
Oh, I was just going to add, you know, love covers a multitude of sins, and that's scripture. And the reason why that is because, you know, I'm going to go to the Greek, to the heart, cardia, that's the mind, the will, the intellect. It's the gatekeeper to your life. So when you are able to express love and live love daily, you're living God through and through in your mind, with the spirit in the spirit of your mind, and it manifests through your life, and and that's powerful because that is God, because He is all powerful. So never give someone else the opportunity to have control over your life. You know, the devil, he has no tongue. So what does he do? He's territorial. He'll use people in your life to speak and do things to irritate you. He's on his job. Stay on your job. Your job is to love. Your job is not to do anything else. Your job is to love. And so many are like, why am I not getting the love that I... Because you're not loving yourself with the love that God has given you. He's created us in His image. He is love. So if He created us in His image and He is love, okay, so then what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we
and
doing?
You know,
we're gonna jump in.
I love that part of 1 Corinthians 13, that love covers a multitude of sins. We spend so much time uncovering people's flaws, pointing it out, shining a spotlight on it. And this Bible verse is reminding us that if you're doing that to someone, that's not love. And certainly if you're doing that to your spouse or your significant other, even when we try to make a joke out of it, you know, taking a weakness of theirs and sharing it with a group and ha, 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 that's not love, because the Bible is very clear that love covers a multitude of sins. And just think back to that woman who was caught in adultery. They brought her. They uncovered her, right? Because there was no love for her. They wanted her to be, and really the real purpose wasn't even to get her. It was a plot to get Jesus and to catch him, you know, saying something or doing something against the law. But they brought her because they wanted to expose her. And then God, Jesus, stooped down, and he began to write their sins. But you know what? He didn't put it up on a billboard. He didn't put it somewhere where it could never be erased. He wrote it in the sand so it could be blown away. That's how you cover your spouse, you or your loved one, even your children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, us, we are so quick to share our children's shortcomings with others. You know, and we're not doing it because we're trying to get help. We are exposing them, you know, maybe angry at the moment or whatever, but we have to remember that love covers. And I think a lot of us fail miserably in this area. We are so quick to tell people what our husband can't do, doesn't do, you know, doesn't know how to do, what we have to teach him. And it's another form of ego because we're puffing up our own selves. But we're exposing the people that we love and that we claim to love. And the Bible is clear. That is not love. Love covers, not exposes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect segue. That's a good segue. And Toy, you want to cover the last part on love before we segue into this big S word?
Yes. Faith worketh by love, which is also scripture. And the reason why I say that, because it takes faith to be forgiving. Because you don't know what the other end of your act of forgiveness is going to, what the result of that is. But because you're operating in a place of faith, which worketh by love, you know, that's where you trust God with the outcome. You don't worry about whether or not they're going to change because you forgave them. It has nothing to do with that. You have to really understand the equation of forgiveness. It's not for you to control the other person. It's not for you to get them to do what you want them to do because they didn't do what they should have done the first time. That's not the reason you're forgiving. Remember your intention. Be intentional about your forgiving. That's the one thing I definitely wanted to share.
Hey, that is a good segue because we got to jump into this now, this big S word. And I'm going to read something and just follow me for a little bit here. Just listen to these words here. We're going to go into a little study here through the Greek, okay? So for those of you who aren't Bible scholars, don't worry because I'm not one either. I just learned how to open a Bible, so it's all good. So just want you to know you right at home. Just keep it moving.com. That's what we do. But there's a word called hupasso. And hupasso is found that it is the Greek meaning for the word submission. And so it says, it basically gives several definitions: to subordinate, to obey, to put under, to be subject unto, to submit oneself. Now, when we think about this, we get hung up a lot of times when we go over to the book of Ephesians, and where we'll go to chapter 5. Hey, somebody, I got a lot of feedback on your phone as you're moving around, so I'm just going to ask you guys to mute it out real quick on your end. But we go to chapter 5, and we skip all of what it says in verses 1 through 21. And we get hung up right at verse 22, where it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord." And that word right there becomes like the four-letter word that's like the curse word, "Wives, submit yourself." Well, I ain't submitting, blah, 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 blah. But you first missed. So now here's the order why we did this. In the very beginning of this book, chapter 5, it says, "Walk in love." So it starts with love. It starts with love. The reason why you can't submit, because you don't love. That's part of your issue. The other issue now, here it is. Now, you got to read and understand, before verses 22 came what? Verse 21. So if you look at 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wait a minute. So we get to chapter 5, verses 22, and we forget all about the love, you know, how it talked about and built us up about love. And then we get over to verse 21 where it says submit one to another. So the word submission is mentioned to both the man as well as to the woman. Why? Why is that? Because it says in the fear of God. Okay, we talk about fears too. There's a healthy fear and there's an unhealthy fear, but you should always fear the Lord because he didn't give you what you deserve, but he gave you grace. He showed you mercy in spite of how nasty and cantankerous your behind was. You know. And so when you look at this particular thing, don't get hung up on the play of words and understanding submission. Focus on obedience to his will. Now, here's the thing. Now, when you go to this, you can't talk about this word, hupasso, without going back to Hebrews, right? You got to go to where it's talking about the authorities. Let's see, Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 13. So if you go over to Hebrews 13, it breaks down for you. Let's go to Bible Gateway, and we're going to break that down where it's talking about a about the authorities and everything else. Let's see, Hebrews 13, might sanctify prayer, exhortation. Hold on, stand by, because this is a little Bible study lesson for me too as well. And if y'all find it before I do speak up, feel free to do so. But it is talking about how we are to basically respect those in position of authority, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Authority
mm-hmm.
figures, you know. And so that being said, the keeper concluding religious language. All right, so it's Hebrews 11 or Hebrews 13. I don't have my footnotes with me in front of me, but y'all forgive me real quick. So I'll give that as one of the challenges for those
about.
Who are listening. You did, where is it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I know what you're talking about. I don't know the scripture, but I know what you're talking about, because the reason why it's that way is because when you're talking about mutual respect, so you can't submit to someone you don't respect. So if you're
come
looking
on.
At that mm-hmm. person as that person, then all you see is that person, and you don't see a person that you – but when you have mm-hmm. you see God in that person, which is that reverence, fear, mm-hmm. and respect, then you are easily able to submit to that person. What it is there's some people in these relationships and the toes just get stepped on if they get stepped on. That's for us to all examine ourselves. If you can't submit to someone, it's whether it's a authority figure, whether it's a boss or whomever, or a loved one, a spouse. If you can't submit, it's because you don't respect them in the
mm-hmm.
role that they are supposed to be in. And you feel...
Mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, that you don't have to listen, you don't need, you don't value their role
uh-huh.
or their operation
uh-huh.
in that role. And
uh-huh.
you have chosen to not submit. It says submit yourselves one to another. That doesn't mean anyone is really over any other. It's a
uh-uh.
give and take. It is a reciprocal submission. The wife submits
right.
to the husband, but the husband also, because of the conversation of the wife, is able to be won over, meaning he will respect
okay.
and submit unto her because she's wise enough to speak as she ought to speak.
Uh-huh. Now, here's the caveat to that. Go ahead, Ed. I'll let you go ahead.
Yeah, real quick, Chris. Chris, let us make this abundantly clear, because I've seen this in a lot of relationships, and, you know, I laugh to myself because I'm like, you got to be ridiculous. It is virtually impossible for you to say that you're submitting to God, but not submitting to your to one another.
Exactly, it's not possible. It's impossible.
It
you
is
can't.
Not possible at all. So if you have a problem submitting to each other, then really look at the relationship between you and your God. Because
mm-hmm.
that speaks the relationship between you and your spouse speaks volume to the relationship between you and God.
Mm-hmm. That's where it starts, and that's
yeah.
why
and the
you
only
can't
thing what I want
one another
add
because
this.
You don't have a relationship with Him.
And that is so essential. So here's what's clear, as you all listen, both men and women. What is clear is that God is not coming to the woman; God's coming to the man. When you look at go back to Hebrews 13:17. I found it, and I found another scripture to go along with that. 13:7 says, obey those who rule over you. Now, and be submissive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, here's the difference. Don't listen to the first word was rule, because that's not what I said. I'm not saying a woman is a doormat, nor am I saying a man has to be dominant and authoritative. No, that's not what I'm saying. Absolutely not. If you're hearing that, you didn't hear it correctly. Going back to those listening skills, we talked about being the art of listening. I'm saying that being submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable. Okay? Then if we flip over and we go into Romans, talks about that whole thing, that's Romans 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists. Okay, so having said that, excuse me, I want to state the precedent that God first created Adam, but he brought Eve out of Adam. And so what happens
right.
when he came to the garden, God is not into demonic things. He is into decency, and he's into order. Now, he didn't say that Adam was to rule over Eve. He didn't say that. He said that they both can have dominion over the world and go out and be fruitful together. So you're getting hung up in all this little thing. But when it comes down to it, when you are on your job, okay, this will make more sense. When you're on your job, whether I'm talking to the lady, and you are in a position of authority, who's the one who has to give the account? You do. So when your boss comes to you and says, he or she is not going to everybody else, they're coming straight for you. If you're the president of the United States and you got to give an account, or the president of a company, the person who's coming to you, they're coming directly to the source. That's you. So you're the one who has to give an account. So how does that fare in relationships? There can only be one person that has to be in the central authority of it. The others are in just by order, because that way your two heads is a monster. You got to cut it off.
Right.
God ain't into two heads.
Right.
So what am I saying? I'm saying to you that in terms
God
of the hierarchy of things, there's a Godhead,
the
right, then the husband and the wife. The man is the head, the woman is the neck. And at the end of the day, that's the easiest way to look at it. The head can't move without the neck, ladies. I mean, let's be real. You know what I'm saying? So that doesn't mean that God can't speak to both of you. But at the end of the day, when God said, Adam, where are you? He didn't say Eve. He knew she was there. But he came to Adam because Adam was the position of authority in charge. He was the one that was supposed to speak up. So just to set the record straight on that, I think we get kind of hung up in that whole thing about the piece of submission. And submission is not supposed to be a bad word. In fact, when you look at it, if when you exchange vows, covenantal vows, those are man-made words. You can choose what you want in there. The only thing that's not is what you find in the book of Ephesians 5:20, chapter 5 on. That's Bible. Okay. Other than that, those words that you exchange, that's not in the Bible. No, those are words that man created. Death do his part, you submit, this and that. No, those are words that you choose to exchange. Okay, so if we want to make it clear, now here's the thing, as Tori said, and Ed both co-signed on this, it's like the reason if you aren't submitting, the question is, are you loving, right? So raising that question up that you're having a hard time, maybe you had something going on as a child. I always take it back to what the root is. The other day I did this a car was making this noise. And some of you all may have watched a little video. I did a little short clip of it. And I was talking to Ed. I said, man, dude, my car was making this noise, and I thought it was one thing, the noise that I was hearing, but it wasn't what I thought, and it wasn't as bad as I suspected. And then when I took it to the mechanic, they looked at it and told me it's better than what you think. Some of y'all not going to the source. Some of y'all going to the wrong source. The source is God. And so when you have issues, you're taking your issues to the wrong person. You need to first take your issue to God. Then you take your issue to bring your issue before a spouse. Now, if your issue is with your spouse, then you need to apply Matthew 18 and how you deal with conflict, you know, within your relationship. That's a whole separate teaching right there that's on that. But at the end of the day,
hey, Chris,
the mechanic fixed my issue. Go ahead. Let's talk.
Oh, I was just going to say there's a part B, because there's that respect, and then there's leading in love. There's a leadership component to submission. You see, when you're able to lead with love, you know, there is a way in which that leadership is exhibited in the household, and that's where it starts. And a lot of times when people are the product of their decisions, and they're the product of their environments. And the same way they lead at home is the same way they lead it on jobs, in churches, everywhere, because that's the example by which they have been given. So when you understand the leadership component of submission to one another, you'll not only seek God first because, you know, the order of things, but you'll also listen for the wisdom as to how to handle and to deal with those who are under your submission. So you will know not to have an authoritative, dictatorial home, because you'll understand that you do need to listen to your wife. And the wife will understand that it's not that he's trying to be dictatorial over her. It's just that he knows that he's responsible for the leadership of that household. And you, as the wife, will respect the husband in the role that he has. If everybody stays in their lane, everything will be great. But everybody wants to switch lanes and switch gears and get off on exits. Can everybody just flow with the traffic as God instructed? That's all I'm saying. I mean, it's a highway, and if everybody just does what they're supposed to do, as God instructed, everybody will, the traffic will be just, but we got traffic jams, we've got backed up cars. I mean, we've got, because everybody wants to jump lanes, everybody wants to switch lanes, everybody wants to do all this stuff, but it's so basic, it's very simple. If we just get back to the fundamentals of leadership, and Jesus is a great example, he is the prime example of leadership. And, you know, so if we go back to godly principles of leadership, respect is automatic, because if you know how to lead, you'll earn the respect of all those that are under you. And it's the way that you communicate with those you have authority over.
Awesome. That's a,
I think Deb wanted to jump in and say something.
I just want to read a short excerpt from my book, The Five-Star, well, our book, The Five-Star Husband and Wife. And this is a piece that I wrote in here to wives, and it's actually concerning submission. And it says, the worldly view of submission says it is a weakness. After all, we live in a world where only the strong survive, right? As Christians, we cannot allow ourselves to be blinded by this perverse view of submission. The Bible calls the wife to submit to her own husband because it is part of the order of things. He's not calling us to be doormats or to be subject to abuse. He expects us to allow him to prepare a godly husband for us. And if we do so, we will have a husband that loves us as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And ladies, there is no greater love than that. How can we not submit to one who loves us in such a way? Once you are converted and truly surrendered to God, submission to our husbands will be the outward expression of our inward condition.
Exactly.
Pretty awesome. Come on, brother.
Hey, that was a drum roll. I just couldn't get to it fast enough.
Okay.
619-924-0869 if you want a comment or question. Just press 1 if you're out there. I see a lot of people that are listening. 619-924-0869. Just press 1. We'll take your comment, your call, and you'll have 60 seconds to do so. And until then, now, this whole thing, we touched on this whole thing of respect, but Toy, what is respect ultimately, and why does the Bible see clearly what it says for the man to love her, but for the woman to respect him? Why is that? And I'll let Ed follow up from the male's perspective.
Right. Well, to respect is to love. So that lays the foundation for reciprocal submission. So because that's, you know, because God is love, and because he is love, the greatest expression of life there is, we honor and have a reverent fear and respect for him. So if you, that's why you can know, you can't respect people beyond that which you respect God and yourself, because he lives in us. So whatever people are doing, you can't ever take anything personally, because what people do is an expression of how they feel about themselves. And if they don't respect themselves, then they're not going to respect the other people around them, because they don't have that foundation and that relationship with God within themselves before they can even express God outwardly to other people. I hope that makes sense.
Absolutely, Toy. I don't know. I don't even know how to come behind that, you know. But let me just make it clear that if you go back to the Bible and look at the relationship between Adam and Eve, you know, Adam and God had a relationship before he came into existence. Adam had everything in place before Eve came into existence. And so when Eve came into existence, God says, okay, Adam, this is your helpmate. And so in order for my spouse to help me or to assist me, then she's gonna have to somewhat subject herself to me to trust me that everything that I'm saying to her, I'm commanding, for lack of a better word, for her to do, it is, you know, she's gonna respect that, because she know that I'm giving her directive as I'm getting them from God.
Exactly.
You follow what I'm saying? So that's where the respect comes in, and so she and that these are part of the reason why the Bible speaks of wife submitting herself to her own husband, because she will be able to do that only when she see her husband submitting himself to God and also to her. So she knows that now this is a place of security. The foundation of which she's standing or she's been built on is a solid foundation, because I am not building this foundation based on my thing or my way or what I deem things should be, but I'm taking directives from God and impart that to her so that we can be found together.
And also, you know, just to add to that, I'm so sorry, but just, you know, always keep in mind, because this happens a lot with a lot of couples, remember that you're supposed to listen to your husband before you listen to somebody else's. I had to go there because, you know, you have to really remember that it's your own husband's voice, you know, that you should really be listening to more. Yes, of course, God is going to lead you and guide you, but a lot of times there are females, you know, there are males, and vice versa, of course, but there are a lot of females that listen, you know, they have all these guy friends and, you know, all these coworkers that they get along with, and that conversation is supposed to be reserved for your husband. There are certain conversations and certain questions that you ask that should be reserved for your husband. And I just wanted to put that out there.
Wow, that's a great point. You know, amazing. He's amazing because he knows exactly what we need. So here he set up this whole leadership system where, you know, the husband is the authority in the home. That's what he said. The husband is the authority in the home. And he knows that this world that we live in is going to try to imitate and take what he made to be so perfect and pervert it. And so he had to remind us what he expected of us. You cannot respect someone. You cannot be led by someone who you do not respect. And so that's why God had to remind us to respect our husbands, because he has entrusted them with a great responsibility. And that responsibility is to lead us, to lead their wives, to lead their children, to, you know, I love the example that Chris gave, that, you know, when you're at a place of employment, you have your CEO, you have your directors, you have your managers, you have your supervisors. Mm-hmm. There's an order, and that's the same order that God established when it comes to the family. And as a woman, as a wife, you cannot be led by someone that you do not respect. And as a husband, you cannot someone that you do not love. And
that's
so
right.
God, he had to put those in there to remind us of what is expected of us. Otherwise, we'd be off doing our own thing. So, you know, and to respect one, you know, that we have for our husbands, that's entrusting them and saying, yes, you have the ability to lead me. I can depend on you. That's what that respect means. And it's important to a man to know that his wife trusts in his ability to lead and that she respects him in such a way.
Hey, I'll summarize it this way. I think everything that you guys said is fact and right on. Just a simple paraphrase version of this: women respond to love, and men respond to respect.
Yes, sir.
That is true.
Men need.
That is true.
What men need, if you say, "Baby, I love you," you try this out. For example, try this out, ladies. If you go to him and say, "Babe, I just respect you for the man of God that you are," you'll see a different reaction from him. Vice versa. Then a woman needs to be told and reinforced, "I love you because you're the apple of my eye." you know, and or, you know, that those are the things that are love languages that make both parties respond in a favorable way. And if we could just humble ourselves to do more of that, then we could see, notice I use the word humility, humble. Humility is the key to it all, because God loves the humble, and he exalts them. You know, 1 Peter 5 talks about humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that the proper time he may exalt you. Some of us are looking for elevation from the wrong places. God is the one
that's
who
right.
gives the elevation. So, yes, you've cried, you've suffered, you've been heartbroken, you've been bitter, broken, bruised, and confused. And at the end of the day, just remember, God still loves you in spite of it all. He still loves you. Now, the humble part, this is where I will never forget a good friend saying to me and sharing in Philippians 2. This is for couples that are really at a level where they're ready to go to that next level. They're committed. They're in heading to a covenant relationship, or they're married already. Go to Philippians 2, and what you'll see is that it's speaking about unity through humility. And watch this. I will read this. So just indulge with me for a second here. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. I think we talked about that earlier. Then it talked about the humble and humbled and exalted Christ. It says, now verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, I got to say that again for somebody who may not just caught that. He humbled himself and became obedient to that point of death. Notice the word I skipped over, but I got to go back and say it again. Obedient. Okay, to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. God has exalted you and given you the name which above every name. So God exalted him at that time because he humbled himself. And it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, here's the last part of it. Last part says, Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but not much more in my absence. So here is talking about even when God ain't, you think he's not looking, he's looking, but you're obeying even when someone's not looking. You're doing the right thing. You're being other-minded and all those things because you're not thinking about yourself. You're considering the other person. That means when you've got a problem, whatever the case may be other-minded. Consider the other person at the same time. How would you feel if this were you? And vice versa. Put that in perspective, okay? Blameless and harmless, it says, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as light in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason you all, you also may be glad and rejoice with me. And so what I just shared with you guys is that this is when you're trying to become one and you're trying to really understand one another and trying to love. You got to go back to this passage. Are you willing to model what Christ is saying here in the essence of this right here? So here now the response is Timothy being commended. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character. Ed mentioned character a little while ago, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. So that's Paul. Paul's here talking about that, and he's commending Timothy for his actions and his bravery, and he's saying he's become like-minded. So the reason why we struggle is because we're not taking on one, we're not wearing a full armor, and two, we're not becoming like-minded of Christ. Our minds are so individually focused on the things of this world and the desires that you want in your heart, and your heart's desires, not necessarily. I remember Dr. Mark Hamby saying that this. This is what he said. It helped me see. Your purpose is your desire. Your purpose, what you feel, is your purpose. That's your desire. But God's purpose is your destiny. I said, you know what? Wow. So you're trying to sit up here and purpose what you're supposed to have, what it's supposed to look like, and all these things. But that's your desire. What has the Father said? Because if you're operating to be one and like-minded like him, I'm not saying all the issues and your troubles are going to go away. No, absolutely not, because we're going to go through something. But in order to go through something, we're going to get through it. Like I shared with Paul, he was traveling to Malta when he was bitten by the snake. Okay, he shook it off. What we got to do, we've got to learn how to shake things off, and the only way we can learn how to do that is if we find love. And we
that's
model
right.
what love looks like, okay? And that's it, because God is love, and he's example of what love should look like. And we humble ourselves at the end of the day and say, you know what, is it worth it? Is it worth it at the end? Because the cost and the penalty, you know, if God had not done what he did to send his son, think about there's a price, there's a penalty, there was a provision, and then there was a promise. Y'all like the peace, right? Okay. So there's a price to pay for everything that we do. There's a price for that penalty. The penalty is death at the end of the day, you know, is death. Now, that may not mean you die in a natural realm, because when Adam and Eve had taken of the fruit, they didn't die immediately. But their spirit did. And sin entered in the world. So all I'm saying is don't kill yourself. Give yourself a chance to live. Give your boo coming into your life an opportunity to see the kingdom woman that you are. Give your wife to be the one that you haven't spoken over. And whether you're going to be married or not, if you're not, let me kind of go back. If it is that you're supposed to be a eunuch, then be a eunuch. Then if you're going to be a eunuch, don't be wasting somebody else's time. Because if you know at the end of the day you don't want, if you just want to love on you, then don't bring somebody else into your pity party. That's fine. You can be selfish by yourself, but don't bring somebody else to the dance having them think that it's something else. And I would say that to the fellas. One of the things that women would always say is when you take her rights away from her, now you've taken something really from her. You've wasted her time.
Mm-hmm.
And now the next person comes along has to deal with the damage control of that, because he's got to help be a process of helping her make her better to lead her back to Christ. But now she doesn't trust anybody because you came along and wasted her time. And so now that's why she's frustrated. And now you want to know, okay, when this independent comes along, because some of those bad experiences that some of the women have had, you know, I can't blame every man, because a man can only do to you what you allow him to do to you, okay? You always say this, ladies, you got to know your value. If you don't know your value, then you'll settle for whatever work that he puts on the table. And if only thing he sees is that you're sexy, that means that Ed said this a long time ago, if you lead with sex, that's all, that's, what'd you say, Ed? If you lead with sex, that's all you'll ever get. That's it. Hey, we'll take the last closing comments and calls, and then we'll get up out of here. But, we got a call. 571-244, 571-244. You are live. Tell us your name, comment, and what's your comment or question?
There's strong evidence that Stephen might be trying to manipulate him.
571-244, you're live.
Songs written about it. Crazy Love by Van Morrison.
Okay. It doesn't sound like that he's that person's there. I'm not sure or not. Okay. Hey, guys, let's bring it in for a landing. It's 10:14. I'll close it out. Ed, you had a comment or thought you'd bring it in for the closing comments, sir?
No. The quote that you're trying to remember is that I said, you know, if your primary purpose is to dress sexy, then you will always attract men whose primary purpose is only to want whose primary purpose is to want to have sex, you know. So, your purpose has to be more than just sexy. Listen, we sitting here and we're talking all night about, you know, about a lot of stuff and submission is a big thing, you know, in relationship. But you know, like I've
as we have stated before, it goes back to love. If we can understand how to love, then submission will fall right into place, because God said we ought to submit ourselves one to another. We can only do that whenever we learn how to love each other.
Deb, comments, questions that you want to bring in for a close?
I think we've done a really good job of covering the topic. Love, submission, and respect. The three of them are needed to have a successful relationship. Loving each other, respecting one another, and submitting to God and to one another. They are necessary for a successful marriage and relationship.
Amen. Toy?
Yes, absolutely. The one thing I definitely want to share to our listeners, and for those of you who are listening to the podcast, thank you so much for staying on with us and listening as well. You know, love is the answer, because God is love. And then also, you know, we talked about submission, which is out of chapter 5. So remember also that God gave us the tools in chapter 6, because he told us that we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness and darkness in high places. He gave us the full armor of God that we may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. He knows. He's given us the tools. He set it up so beautifully, and that's why he is a God of order. There's a reason why those chapters are the way they are. And if we pay attention and really listen to the Holy Spirit, he will teach us and guide us into these truths. So as you go about your day and walk in love, you will forgive, and you shall submit. And shall is a continuous action verb, meaning you shall continuously do so.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, that is awesome. Guys, I just want to thank you guys all for joining the show tonight. Thanking you for your time. And hopefully you've heard something. I pray that you really have. I pray that the things that you've heard will not just be words that fall on deaf ears and not on fertile ground. I pray that you apply this thing called application. Because you know what? We can only get better when you are better. And it takes a conscious effort to control subconscious behavior. And sometimes you can't see it, because it happens and it's innate. You just don't know. So don't let the things of your past or the promises or the pains of your today hinder the promises of your future. You can't. So you got to learn how to. If you learn how to love, you can learn how to live. Because God is teaching us through the model of love. Well, that's it for this week. Next week, we got a good show. We're gonna talk about vulnerability. Vulnerability. The question of the day, the Big Bird question is: how vulnerable is too vulnerable? Is there such a thing? Well, that's what we're going to talk about next week. So you got to tune in same time, same bad channel next week from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And, yeah, we're grown, so we can go over just a little bit if that's the case. If you want to get a copy of tonight's replay, all you have to do is tell a friend or neighbor, go visit the podcast. It'll be posted live on the website. That's realtalkwithchrisrichardson.com. We'll also post it on the social media page within Twitter as well as Facebook. So that's all I have for everybody, but I so appreciate you guys for tuning in. As to my co-hosts on here, thanks for rolling with a brother. It was always a plum-pleasing pleasure to roll with y'all. All right? Peace.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.